Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because, well, we have with us on the line a good friend, John Stormer. And John, back in 1964, wrote a book. It was called None Dare Call It Treason. And that book sold 7 million copies. It was read across America. And it suddenly made people aware of the threat of communism. It was so very real at that time. But also brought out the fact that there were other organizations working behind the scenes that controlled our entire government. And that was the Council on Foreign Relations. And of course, that book, None Dare Call It Treason, raised a lot of questions, really rallied the conservative movement behind Barry Goldwater, and then it was a standard text for many years. And of course, as time went by, fewer and fewer people read None Dare Call It Treason. Although we still have that in stock, we have his updated book, None Dare Call It Treason, 25 years later. John, thank you so much for being with us.
Always good to be with you.
Why don't you just get a little bit into the background of, you know, how we used to think it was all communism, and then we began to understand that, of course, as one of the people you quoted in your book said, if we didn't have a communist movement or communist threat, we'd have to create one. What was that about?
Well, people are manipulated. Governments are redesigned. Education systems are manipulated to meet threats, and I think that even Hegel, one of the forefathers, one of those that Karl Marx drew his part of his, well, his dialectic of dialectic materialism from. Hegel said that you have a thesis, that's a position, and then it produces an antithesis and finally come to a synthesis, and this is the way of keeping change going. And he said that one of the things that produces change is a crisis, and actually said you either use a real crisis that's there, or you manufacture one.
And that's, of course, how you get the change you want.
That's right. And when that is produced, then there is a reaction to it, and out of that comes a new consensus or synthesis. And then, of course, the synthesis becomes the new thesis, and you keep moving on. And with Hegel and Marx and most of our academic area, of course, it's all moved in the direction of away from absolutes and away from traditional values and moving towards ultimately socialism, moving away from individual rights.
And of course, that was really what we called the dialectics, wasn't it?
That's right. And moving from over the last 200 years, it's moved from the concept that individual rights are the premium, they're the thing on which everything should be based. Our legal system was based on it. Our Constitution was based on it. Of course, that stems from the Bible.
Hold that thought, John. We're going to have to go to a break right now.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and with us this afternoon is John Stormer. And John, back in 1964, wrote a book called None Dare Call It Treason. Now, many of you may be so young you don't remember that book, but I remember that book. It was 40 years ago when that came out, and that had a profound impact on my life and the lives of many people who read it. It was the Goldwater Campaign, and it was pointing out the real threat that America faced at that time. There was the worldwide threat of communism, but there were other forces in our society that at work, and this was the first time I think many people have really came to understand the Council on Foreign Relations. Of course, they kept it secret for another 20-30 years. It's only been the last 10 years that they've talked about it. But of course, the Council on Foreign Relations has been the dominant force in America going back to its formation in 1921. But of course, because they control the media, you never heard of it any more than you heard of the Bilderbergers until outside of conservative publications and talk shows until this year. And suddenly, almost as if somebody had pulled a switch, you're suddenly reading articles about the Bilderbergers and both the New York Times and the Washington Post, almost as if somebody had said, all right, fellas, maybe it's time we outed this organization too, because if we keep it secret much longer, those conservatives are going to be able to use that against us. And the one thing that intrigues people is the fact that there really are secret organizations out there that rule the world. So pick up the story from there, John.
Well, I had a man call me today wanting to know, have you ever heard of the Bonesman? Yes. And he started to release, he just read some new book that William Howard Taft and Averell Harriman and of course both of the major presidential candidates this year and George Bush's father. This is a group out of Yale. I think the book that they mentioned, I haven't seen it, was The Hidden Story of the Tomb or something like that.
Oh, was that Secrets of the Tomb by Alexandra Robbins?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So we have actually some great interviews with Alexandra. Go ahead.
But these young men at Yale are and very often there's heredity involved, are selected, and there are some of the bad left-wingers out of the past, and there's also some of the so-called conservatives. I think William Buckley was one of them. And they're initiated into this society and with all sorts of weirdo sort of initiations, some occult involvement, and they end up being very, very prominent people as for today.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is John Stormer. He's talking about the Skull and Bone Society and the fact that these are really very important and influential people in this little-known organization called Skull and Bones, which originates at Yale University, and William Howard Taft, President William Howard Taft, and President George Herbert Walker Bush were both members of the Bones Society, and now we have two Bonesmen running for the president, putting on a great show of opposing one another, but really both going the same direction, both controlled by the same occult force, both having sworn the same secret oaths, both bound together by, of course, the secrets of the tomb. Pick up the story from there, John.
Well, I think that both of the men were interviewed on Meet the Press, and Ted Russert did ask about this because people are starting to talk about it, and they both replied almost as from a written script saying, well, of course, it's a secret organization, so we can't talk about it. Now, down through history, of course, there have been all sorts of secret organizations, and in my book, None Dare Call It Treason 25 Years Later, there's a chapter there, Why Are Our Leaders Betraying Us? And we discuss the fact that I can look at probably 7 different conspiratorial forces at work in the world. The international bankers, the international socialists, the Fabians, the communists are alive and well in the world today. Putin is rebuilding that whole system over in the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union. The world religious forces, the liberal, the World Council of Churches group, the Vatican II type of Catholics, the liberal Jews. I think there's good evidence that there's a whole worldwide homosexual network. the international crime forces, of which the mafia is just one branch. And they're all working towards world government, feeling that ultimately they will come to control it. The Fabians, perhaps, because they think they're smarter. The bankers, because they control the money. The communists, because they're more ruthless. They all have their different views. And, of course, you have to come ultimately to realize that behind them all is Satan.
Absolutely, and I think that's what's so important. I mean, the Council on Foreign Relations came out of a secret occult organization, deeply involved in the occult. And certainly you can trace many of the people within the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers into the occult. You can certainly trace Karl Marx himself into the occult. He was a Satanist. In fact, we have a book called Marx and Satan. So this is the common denominator, you know, John, but when you tell people this, their eyes glass over because they've never heard this before. Certainly they don't talk about it at the meetings that you and I attend. They don't talk about it in our churches today.
This is something that Dr. Stan, I'm coming more and more to realize that, you know, as you, I, many of your listeners get involved in battles out there, whether it's maybe a battle against abortion or same-sex marriages or pornography or some of these other things that we continually see, we're usually pictured as being on the defensive, not very caring about people, all those things. And we have to learn to do a better job of taking control of the debate and getting it onto our ground.
And I agree with you totally.
And the thing is that underneath all of these issues, this gets to, I share some office space with an attorney. He was a longtime Democrat. In fact, he was the Democrat candidate for Attorney General of Missouri back in 1980 that Ashcroft beat. He still says if it wasn't for that stupid guy, Jimmy Carter, I'd have been the Attorney General of Missouri instead of, but, he's an old-fashioned Democrat. He's a pro-lifer. He is strong that way. And he's also he's argued cases before the Supreme Court, and he's got a good mind. And he's regularly saying in arguments, and we get together with some other lawyers. I'm not a lawyer, but I sit in with them and kind of. But he made the point. I've really been thinking about it, and it's something that as I throw it out to people, they say, "Boy, that's right." We're usually involved in all sorts of debates and arguments over minor premises. Should a woman have the right to choose? And you know, you can make some pretty good arguments in favor of abortion from a logical standpoint if there is no God.
Right.
But you have to get it back. The major premise from which you need to work is there is a God, and if there is, then all the minor promises and the conclusions fall into place. And this has been the problem with the Supreme Court. And it's not brought up in our courts at all. The Supreme Court ignores a foundational precept of logic in arriving at this ongoing series of anti-God, anti-morality decisions. Logic would tell us, and we don't teach this in school anymore. Kids don't get it. In fact, you've got to go back 75 years before this really gets looked at. A right conclusion or decision in considering a matter has to stem from and rest upon a correct major premise.
And, of course, if you're going to win a debate, why, you have to put the other person on the defensive.
Exactly.
And the thing is that, you know, once you take a high moral stand, why, they have to either go along with you or they have to oppose you and take an immoral stand. And I think most people acknowledge that there really is a God. They may scoff at him, they may fuss and fume, but, you know, it's very difficult. I've never had anybody counter it when I said, you know, every living human being, born and unborn, is made as a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God. And that really shuts the other side falls strangely silent at that point.
You make the point, and it's a good one. There's probably 80 or 85% of the people, at least, that acknowledge, yes, there's a God. But they don't think about whether there's a God or not, and that isn't involved in any of our discussions. You can't discuss them in school. Well, you could discuss them in courts, and I've been challenging some of these lawyers that they need to go in and bring up God in court cases. For example, if you're talking about abortion, you're talking about some of these other issues, sodomy and all the rest, they're finding rights to these things in the Constitution, and you got to get back to the Declaration of Independence that says that we were endowed by our Creator, God, with certain rights, and among them is, and to make those rights secure, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And last Friday I was with some fellows. It was an old-time Democrat attorney, a good, kind, fine old man, you know? But he's just a born and bred Democrat. He goes down that liberal line. And we were sitting there talking, and I brought this up, and I said, no, wait a minute. We have to stop and think. As the Declaration says, we got our rights from God, and he nodded his head. He'd been taught that way. And I said, then a Constitution was written to make those rights secure. How can the court find a right in the Constitution to abort babies or engage in sodomy or so forth? He said, boy, that's exactly right. But they won't go into court and argue it.
Well, I think that what we're going to have to do is a nation to return to God, or God is going to turn his back on this nation. It's just that simple. And what we need is people like you out there in the front lines espousing this and getting on as many radio stations as we can, because it's all a spiritual battle. Until people understand that, they don't understand why we're losing, because nobody has the courage to stand up and talk about it. Even many of our religious leaders, they want to talk about the rationale rather than the spiritual aspect of what's going
on. And they don't get back to the major premise. There is a God.
Right.
And people, good, dedicated, pro-life people, they'll get out with some pro-choice person, or they get out protesting in front of an abortion clinic and start hollering at baby killers with one another, you know, and without getting the argument or the basis back to, is there a God or not?
Right.
If there is, then we have no right to do all these things.
And that's why homosexuality is wrong. It's because God said it's wrong.
That's right.
You said it's wrong, not because I said it's wrong, but because the Bible says and God says it's wrong. He didn't design the world for that. And you get talking to people who are into Satanism, and they will tell you that they stress this because it is a violation of God's law. They understand the nature of this battle. It's just that the good Christians don't understand the nature of the battle.
That's the reason why... you know, there's a fellow, I believe maybe you've met him too, Brad Bright, the son of the founder of Campus Crusade.
Bill's son, right?
Has a new little book out, God is the Issue. God is the Issue. And he makes the point that good people have been out, conservatives, Christians, out fighting all sorts. They're fighting against symptoms, and we lose. And we've got to get the argument back, the basis back, to make God the issue. And then you put the other side on the defensive.
And you're absolutely right. In fact, that's the standard in any debate. But this is more than a debate. We're talking about the very, very survival of Western civilization. And I will tell you, Europe, as far as its relationship to God is concerned, you can write them off. They've got far more mosques than they have, churches in southern France. And the mosques are full and the churches are empty. And the same thing is true in England. I talked to the vicar of Cambridge the other day. He said that maybe they're 3% of the people in England are church today. What the commentary on a nation that once, of course, led the world.
They churched, and how many of those in the church are actually?
All right, we'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, John Stormer, here at Radio Liberty.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who are actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierney. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is John Stormer. And John has written a wonderful book. Of course, he's written several of them. He has a book called None Dare Call It Education, which we carry. He has None Dare Call It Treason. 25 years later, we still have some copies of his original book, None Dare Call It Treason. But None Dare Call It Treason gives you more of an update on the things that have happened the 25 years after that book was published in 1964. And then, of course, there's 3 videos. And what are the names of those 3 videos, John? Because we carry them all. I just can't remember them. I remember one of them is What the Dead Communists Are Doing. What's that about?
What are the dead communists doing in the world today? We look at number one, Putin in Russia. Supposedly communism died. We hear that. In fact, some of our good conservatives, even friends of mine, will regularly start a speech saying, since communism died, since the Berlin Wall came down.
Yeah, I was going to say, never mention the fact that 1.25 billion people live in communist China today, and people live in communist North Korea, and communist Vietnam, and communist Cuba, and in communist Rhodesia.
Much of southern Africa, from the Sahara on down. They're headed now by former communists.
Right. Doesn't it make you feel a lot better, but they just act just exactly like the communists did, don't they?
And yesterday, Venezuela, Chavez, I guess he won some sort of a referendum to stay in office. And Chavez, of course, is contesting with the president of Brazil to become Castro's successor in Central South America when he goes from the scene. And then in Russia itself, this fellow Putin, of course, is a long time, 15-16 year member of the KGB, the secret police, headed the successor to the secret police. And since he took power, and Clinton said, I looked deep into his eyes and found that he's a fine man, and George Bush said about the same thing, he has totally eliminated even the semblance of media freedom, TV, radio, that came after Yeltsin took over. There was a little burst, a little time there with a little bit of freedom.
I think everybody in Russia believes that they actually created the bombing of the apartment houses in Moscow to justify going to war in Chechnya and killing all the people there. But that's a great diversion for the Russian people. Now they can focus their attention on what's happening in Chechnya without realizing, of course, too much of what's happening back in Russia, Mother Russia itself, as they lose their freedom there.
We deal with that in the book, None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later, as to what's happening. The five reasons, they've periodically gone through relaxations. Number one, to calm their people down. Number two, to get desperately needed Western aid. Number three, to entice us into disarming. Number four, they're magicians, and we look to the wall coming down and that other stuff and don't see what's happening in Africa and all the other places. And then fifth, I said, and this I wrote in 1987, the purpose of Glasnost and Perestroika was to make them full partners, respectable enough to be the full partners and create a new world order. So the communists, the dead communists, are alive and well. The second video is the biblical basis for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. A vitally important message, and it's well done with a couple of cameras and it's something that everybody needs. They need it in schools. It makes a good Sunday school lesson in a church. And then, of course, the third video that you offer, the war against our culture through the schools, what's happening in education. By the way, when we mention education and talk about news blackouts, we mentioned that a little bit ago, right?
Right.
You mentioned that now and then, right? I wonder how many of our listeners are aware that in May 2003, that's about 16 months ago, the Minnesota legislature voted almost unanimously, overwhelmingly, the Minnesota legislature voted to receive and take no more general federal funds for education, and also to reject all the controls that go with the federal dollars, the so-called federal dollars that come in. You know, that was something revolutionary, and they're in the process of developing their own curriculum and everything, and who's heard about it?
Of course not, because there was this no child left behind system. That was a federal scheme to take over control of the educational system and to control the minds, hearts, and souls of our children and to turn them away from God. And the question is, why would the federal government, with a conservative administration, be putting through legislation that had been championed for so many years by Ted Kennedy?
We'll be
right back here in just a moment with our special friend, John Stormer.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is John Stormer. His books, None Dare Call It Treason, 25 Years After, None Dare Call It Education, and then his videos, Bible and the Birth of Our Nation, War Against Our Culture Through the Schools, and What Are the Dead Communists Doing in the World Today? Well, we've got Fred calling in from Salinas, and let me just mention our telephone number. If you're out there across America, you'd like to talk to John, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Fred. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I just want to have. I just had a comment. I just want to tell Dr. Stormer that I just finished my old copy of None Dare Call It Treason, and it is very, I think it's more prophetic today than it was when he originally wrote it.
Isn't that a great book?
I think I would ask everybody to go see if they could find a copy of that book.
Well, of course, if they can't get a copy, they can get one through Radio Liberty, but if you can find one, you know, they used to be in the used bookstores. They used to have a section. You could always go there and find a copy, and you just don't find them in used bookstores anymore, and you don't find the other book that came out 8 years later, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. There were about 7 or 8 to 10 million copies of that. They sort of all disappeared. John, have you noticed that?
I've heard that, yes.
But anyway,
once in a while I hear from somebody that said I was in a Salvation Army resell it shop or something like that. I paid 10 cents for this book, and I just read it. Oh, my.
This is the copy I had that I originally bought back then. It's been, I've read it 2 or 3 times, but I think right now it's more pertinent than any time that
I hear that frequently. I get calls every month from people that very often.
But I suggest everybody go find a copy of it some way or another if they got to go to the used bookstores or whatever.
Get it from Dr. Stan or from me.
All right, fine. Thanks very much, Fred. And
have a good day.
Okay,
appreciate
fine.
That.
Okay, bye-bye. And of course, let's go ahead and... do you have a website or means that people can get in touch with you, John?
I'm a one-man operator. I don't have time to develop something like that. I maybe ought to do it, but anybody that interested in contacting me, the best thing is just John Stormer, Post Office Box 32, Florissant, Missouri, 63032. The two key things there really is Box 32 and 63032, and it would get to me. And if they want a list of the things we have or whatever, I'd be glad to hear. And you have it all there, so they can certainly get in touch with you.
All right, fine. Well, we appreciate it. And so the important thing is to remember, get the material, not who you get it from. Because these books are classic, and you have to understand that there really is an organized effort to change America forever. And what I think the most interesting thing is the way that our so-called capitalist leaders work so closely with the so-called communist leaders of both Russia and China. How do you explain that, John? That really doesn't make sense. Why would capitalists work with communists?
Well, there'd be a number of answers for that. One of them is that very few Americans, anybody that probably has graduated from college in the last 50 years has been indoctrinated with all the basic precepts of Marxism.
Which has nothing to do with communism.
No, but in other words, the socialists and all the rest, and there are no absolutes, and if there's a God, he doesn't get himself involved in the world affairs and all that kind of stuff. And they look at the so-called bottom line, and China is a threat. Red China is a threat. And they're developing missiles. They have them. They're picking up the strategic points around the world, both ends of the Panama Canal, the other choke points around the world. With the bankruptcy of Global Crossings back 2 years, about the time of Enron, that went into a bankruptcy court, and a fellow from Hong Kong with close ties to the People's Liberation Army bought Global Crossing. Some people say, what's that? They have the fiber optic networks all over the world that connect something like 120 countries, and we have to use it for our military communications and all the rest. They're moving towards control of the world.
And not only that, but they are buying our bonds, and if they were suddenly to start selling our bonds, well, they could almost literally collapse the central government of the United States financially. Doesn't make sense, and we're doing everything we can to help them.
And they're getting the funds to do it with all the stuff that we buy at Walmart and just about every place else in America. I was out a couple of weeks ago. We were visiting with my daughter and my son-in-law, and whenever my daughter and her mother get together, they head for Walmart. I walked around there, and I finally found some stuff that wasn't made in China. I mean, electronic stuff, just about everything. And this year, they have about $100 billion in profit in what they sell in America. And there's some that would say, well, of course they're developing an entrepreneurial spirit and this and this and this, but all those companies that are selling to us are subsidiaries of the People's Liberation Army.
Well, I think, you know, but one of the other things is that so many of our major corporations have gone over there, and they tell us, well, oh, look at the corporate profits that they're making this year. Well, they're making profits because they're producing their goods in China and bringing them in here because we have no tariffs. Sure, they're making profits because they're making the goods with slave labor for all intents and purposes, and then bring it in here in the United States. It's almost like we're paying for our own destruction, because the money that's going, so much of it going into China, is being used to keep the ruthless government in power.
And there's so many things. Oh, you can just develop. For example, people need transplanted organs. There's pretty good indication in the world that China executes more people than any other country, and there's good indication that at certain places in the world, if you need a heart and you're not the kind that maybe you're too old or you don't meet the criteria and you have the money, Singapore, London, other places, they can place an order, and suddenly there's somebody who needs execution, and they've actually advertised on the internet availability of organs.
Real entrepreneurial spirit, isn't it?
That's right.
And I think that people don't understand we're dealing with organized evil, because that's what communism is. And yet, of course, we are pandering to it, our leaders are pandering to it, and many of our leaders, like the Kissingers and George Herbert Walker Bush's brother, tremendous investments over there. But it's not just them. We find so many of our major corporations are moving over there. Intel has moved over there, and the head of Intel said, you know, as an American, I'm very concerned because we're moving our operations to China. But, you know, as the head of Intel, I have to be concerned about the bottom line and the profits, and we can make so much more money over here, even though I know this is undermining my own country.
Outsourcing. We just went through a primary election here for governor, and one of the issues became, of course, the Democrats are constantly hollering about the Republicans transferring jobs overseas and outsourcing and everything. The State of Missouri, a Division of Family Services that administers all of our welfare, they outsourced to India so that anybody here in Missouri that was calling about their welfare check or their eligibility or something, all those inquiries were being handled over in India.
Well, you find this so much. I know certainly with my Dell, with a Dell computer, but I know with a Hewlett Packard computer and with the Hewlett Packard printers, they have the offices over there in India, and it's so much cheaper to hire the people over there than to hire them here to do
but
it.
The state of Missouri and their welfare department.
Right, I know.
while standing up and screaming about somebody else sending jobs out, you know, I mean, the hypocrisy that.
Well, I think that anything, of course, we see the Republicans pointing to the Democrats and the Democrats
right.
pointing at the Republicans. And the truth of the matter is they both are supporting this globalization because this is part of the move towards the new world order. And it really involves they've got to, of course, get rid of our jobs and get rid of our industries and devalue the dollar and impoverish the middle class. If we're ever going to have true equality in the world, we've got to bring the living standards of the average American up to that of the Mexican peasant. You know, and the thing is, the average American cannot believe that the leaders would really sell them out. And even many of the union leaders, although they say the right things, when push comes to shove, they're going right along with this.
That's right. And, of course, there was NAFTA, and now they're talking about integrating all of Central and South America in, along with North America.
In the free trade zone of the Americas, area of the Americas, that's going to become law within 6 months. If nothing is done to intervene. And with that, of course, we tear down all tariff barriers with the idea, oh, look, we're going to have all those markets in South America. No, we're not going to have the markets in South America. They're going to have the markets here. Brazil is one of the great industrial powerhouses in the world, and their products are going to be coming in here, you know, in droves. And
you know, I did some NAFTA was 1994 and did some, I was in a debate at a group that I don't know whether you were there or not, but there were five people on a panel, and it started out, and one of the speakers said, well, now nobody's read all those 2,000 pages, and I said, I have, and I have it right here, and there was one other fellow, and we cleaned their clock just from the standpoint, not that we were, we just read the agreement, and for example, NAFTA, that if we could just build up the people in Mexico and get their standard of living up, why, we'd have all sorts of, why, we could sell cars down there. But they wrote into the NAFTA agreement that you couldn't export used American cars for 25 years. Now, a fellow making a couple of dollars an hour down there, he might be able to buy a 1964 or a 1970 Chevy or something like that. He's not going to buy a new car, though.
Not at $30,000 or $40,000, that's for sure.
That's right. But they expressly forbid the export of our used cars.
Well, I think that everybody should really understand they've lied about everything. They told us we were going to, of course, have a more favorable balance of trade with Mexico, and we didn't. Now they're telling us, oh, we're going to have a favorable balance of trade with World Trade Organizations. Our deficit this year is going to be between $500 and $600 billion, you know, for our trade deficit, and it may even be worse than that. And now this free trade zone of the Americas is the first step, because first of all, you tear down the tariff barriers, and then you get a common currency, and then you lose your sovereignty like they have in England.
A big part of that unfavorable balance of trade, the $600-700 billion you're talking about, a big percentage of that is oil.
Sure.
And they holler and scream about it, but, you know, the Democrats were hollering against about the oil thing, and Bush came back and he had his plan to conservation, but nobody brings up and nobody says to the Democrats that were hollering, you know, we can't become energy independent because you people vote against us developing the Alaskan oil. But they never get down to the real hardcore, the real nuts and bolts of what the problems really are.
They blocked nuclear energy, and how have they blocked it? Why, they blocked the reprocessing of the spent fuel. Everybody in the world reprocesses spent fuel except America, who developed the techniques for it. And we can't develop our oil, and we've got plenty of oil. But even if we started working on it right today, it would take 5 to 10 years. So we have a real crisis, and that crisis is going to have devastating effect not only on the price of oil, but on our entire economy. Don't you think, John?
No question about it, and we need to wake up and really look for people who will go to Washington and really stand. And too many of those people that Bob Schaefer was running in Colorado, a good solid guy who kept his word on term limits and all the rest, and yet he lost the Senate nomination out there, 60-40. And too often the Washington people come down on the wrong side and support the wrong candidate.
Because the people in Washington don't want anybody that will stand on principle. That's why I never give anything to the Republican National Committee, because they're going to use it to control the politicians.
That's right. Tom Coburn won in Oklahoma in that primary.
I'm so glad. Tom is a good
too.
Man.
He's a good man.
And now he will then be the Republican nominee running in November.
Right.
Well, that's some good news. So, you know, there are good things that are happening out there, and we could get a few good people in the United States Senate. Do you know whether Larry Klayman's run, what's happening down there in Florida?
They're debating right now in Florida.
They are.
They're debating tonight. It was, I think, the first time that all the candidates were involved. From all that I can gather from down there, he's going to be four or five I think their election's the 31st of August.
All right, fine. And of course, we'd like to see a few good senators. Who would you be backing in Florida for the Senate nomination? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, the man that I was supporting was he's a longtime friend, and I just lost. State Senator Christian, and when Washington put Martinez in to that race, the HUD director, he pulled out, realizing that he was not going to have a chance.
Well, I think that what we have to understand is we don't have a representative government. We have government that's being imposed from Washington, D.C. by the people with the big bucks, not simply in one party, but in both political parties. We don't pick our candidates. They pick our candidates. And usually, they're going to be running one Republican they picked against one Democrat they picked. And that's why I think the nomination of Tom Coburn was so important, because he wasn't liked by the establishment at all, because he wouldn't knuckle
over. They were supporting the mayor of Oklahoma City or Tulsa.
Right.
And he still got 60-some percent of the vote, because in that case, the issues were defined and people rallied around, and there were some people across the country that gave him some support, and he of course was a doctor, a pediatrician, or an obstetrician. During the 6 years he was in Congress, he term limited himself out. He flew home every weekend, delivered babies.
Well, do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners, John?
Well, ultimately, Scripture says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them.
God bless you.
And that's our only hope.
Thanks so very much. Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book on there that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. If you really want to know what happened in Oklahoma City, you're never going to get it reading the public press. You're never going to get it from even many of the books that have been written about it. We have two great four tapes out on what happened in Oklahoma City. And you have to understand that Timothy McVeigh, when, of course, his defense was opened there in Colorado, why his Stephen Jones, his attorney, got up and said, well, you know, Timothy McVeigh had written to his sister and said, I'm really working for a special forces unit involved in illegal activity. You know, could you believe it? Nobody in the entire United States picked up on that. Not one newspaper, not one columnist. You can find this in Stephen Jones' second book, Others Unknown, The Oklahoma City Bombing Conspiracy, totally blacked out by the media. And, of course, there was a man who actually was a radio commentator that we knew personally, and he really seriously questioned what happened at the Timothy McVeigh's execution. Well, we don't know what happened at Timothy McVeigh's execution. He kept playing this tape by a woman who was there who said over and over again, gee, I didn't know you kept breathing after you'd been executed, after you were dead. But I will tell you what happened to the talk show host. He was killed in a SWAT team raid very, very shortly thereafter that. And, of course, he wrote a wonderful book called Ride a Pale Horse. And of course, he is very, very dead. There's so many unanswered questions about what happened in Oklahoma City. But let me suggest our four tapes out in Oklahoma City and the Oklahoma City update, and you'll get an entirely different perspective. And the only question is, why did the government refuse to allow anybody to examine the debris? And why was it taken and buried and kept under guard for a long period of time? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, let me suggest that if you have not read John Stormer's material recently, his book, None Dare Call It Treason, we carry, but, of course, we have the update, None Dare Call It Treason, 25 years later. And then we have his book, None Dare Call It Education, which we strongly recommend. We have his three videos, What Are the Dead Communists Doing in the World Today?, The War Against Our Culture Through Our Schools, because, of course, the schools are being used to destroy America, and then The Bible and the Birth of Our Nation. Now, if you don't believe that the schools are being used to destroy America, you need to get the book Fed Ed. That's Fed Ed by Alan Quist, an inexpensive little book. And of course, we have a four-tape set by exactly the same title, Fed Ed. And you need to understand that they, in our schools today, they're indoctrinating our youth in environmentalism and the solution to every environmental problem, a whole new series of government laws. They're indoctrinating them in hatred of family and in hatred of God. And, of course, in support for that wonderful organization, the United Nations. And so we hope that you'll get the book, as you get the four-tape set, and you'll get the information to understand what's happening in the educational system. If you have children in schools today, if you possibly can, get them out. We have a wonderful homeschool program, the Robinson Homeschool Program, and you can, it's really all on 22 CDs, and you print out the lessons, you print out the courses, you print out the textbooks. Everything is there that you need for an education, from grammar school to high school graduation, except for the Max Saxon math textbooks. It's only $199.95. They even have the many of the original encyclopedias, and they have the Huckleberry Finn and the original McGuffey readers, all the material you need, of course, to educate your child right. Because God gave children to the parents, not to the government. But you see, there is a philosophy that says the government is going to have them because they're going to use that to change society. Education is being used today to turn our children against America, and they're being told how wonderful the United Nations is. Talk to the children. And then ask them about using drugs. The DARE program is indoctrinating our children in the Crowley concept of do without wealth, you make the decisions. That's what values clarification is all about. They're teaching in our schools. You need to get our four tape set on Aleister Crowley. But you really need to get, if you have not yet seen it, the 4-hour or the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, and understand the music that your children are listening to, and some of this music has gone right into our churches. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, 4-hour or the 10-hour version, and of course we're going to have the man who did that. It's going to be Pastor Joe Schimmel is going to be at our conference, which we're going to be having in here in the Santa Cruz area at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. An all-day seminar on the 6th of November, and we hope that you'll call right now and make your reservation. We're hoping to get a great crowd out. We're going to have some great speakers. That's the 6th of November, all-day session, but you're going to have reservations. You're going to have to call. If you're from out of the area and you want to know where you can stay overnight, we'll send you the list of the hotels and motels. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927, and think very seriously about getting that those videos. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. I will tell you, it's devastating because it will give you insight into how our children have been targeted, and the young people in the 60s and 70s who are victims of Satan's music are now running our country today. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Remember our number again, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And so until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be with you once again. Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.